Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. Please tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrodburg.com. You'll find all of these radio programs and MP3 files, Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length, and a host of other Bible-related material. Please give it a look. We'll also have some information about us. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study period and worship periods at the Harrodburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all these services. You will always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for your sin. Just bring an open Bible and an open mind and come and worship with us. We have been looking at the past few weeks of the message of the Bible. We have discussed in the previous three lessons the message of the Old Testament. We now turn our attention to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we saw that a Savior was needed. Number two, that a Savior was coming. Now, in the New Testament, we're going to see that the Savior has come. In John chapter 20, verse 30 through 31, the Apostle John wrote this: "Yet truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life in his name." John 20, 30 and 31. The reason of the New Testament is to reveal the fulfillment of the Old Covenant. It begins with the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew 1 and 2 discuss the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 9, verse 1 states that some people would not die before the power promised by Jesus that would come, that heard Jesus speaking on earth, would also see that power and that kingdom come into fruition. In Luke 19 and 10, Luke told us that he came to seek and save the lost. And in John 4, verse 24, the Apostle John wrote that we must worship God in spirit and in truth. And in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 and 19, Jesus told us in his own words that he promised to build his church on the foundation of himself. And in Matthew 28, 18 and 20, also Mark 16, 15 and 16, and Luke 44 through 49, we have the Great Commission, where God sends the apostles to go in the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature, telling them to teach them and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are contained in the first four books of the Bible. These also could be called the biography of Jesus Christ. If you want to know anything about Jesus' time on earth and what he did, what he taught, you're going to have to look at those first four books. The book of Acts is the only book of history in the New Covenant. In Acts 2, we have the church and its beginning on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 9, we have the first Gentile convert by Cornelius. After Saul's conversion in chapter 9, we have the first Gentile conversion in Acts chapter 10. And in Acts 12, we see the first apostle who is killed. James is martyred by Herod in Acts 12, verse 2. And we see the first problem that arose in the early church, and it was under discussion in Acts 15, and that had to do with the problem of binding circumcision on the Gentiles, which was not necessary, but the Jews were trying to combine both laws. The rest of the book of Acts is dedicated to the preaching journeys of Paul. There are three, and also his voyage to Rome. And so those are what's contained in the book of Acts. The book of Acts will also answer the question, what must I do to be saved? There's nine conversions in the book of Acts, and all of them are covered in Acts and would answer that question. The book of Romans was written to the church at Rome. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The power of God to save is in the gospel message. That's what we find out in Romans. In 1 Corinthians, God wanted all men to be of the same mind and the same judgment. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. God did not want religious division. Unfortunately, that happened. That wasn't what God wanted. That's what men wanted. In 2 Corinthians chapter, the book of 2 Corinthians, the second letter written to the church at Corinth, it led a man to repent after he had rebuked them in 1 Corinthians 5 because they had a man that had his father's wife and they were not dealing with it. They were ignoring the sin. But now that man has repented and corrected his life. Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led you to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss for us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, but not to be regretted. But the sorrow of the world leads to death. And so he exhibited true sorrow, and it led him to life. The book of Galatians, written to the churches of Galatia. But even if I, an angel from heaven, preach to you any other gospel than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As I have said before, so say I now again. If I or anyone else preach any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. This passage clearly shows us there's only one gospel message, and the others are false narratives. The book of Ephesians, first three books of Ephesians are written to the beauty and the majesty of the church. Chapters 4 through 6 talk about application to the individual and the life that they should be leading. In Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord and Father of all, who's above all, through us all, and in you all. Seven pillars of unity. There is only one, not many, just one. The book of Philippians, a book of joy. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than themselves. Let each of us look not only out for our own interests, but also for the interest of others. Philippians 2, 2 through 4. Then you have the book of Colossians. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, which Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the things on the earth. 1 Thessalonians, written to the church of Thessalonica. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. In 2 Thessalonians, among who those who perished because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they should all be condemned, who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, God didn't say that he caused them to believe the lie. They chose to believe the lie. When you reject the truth, you will take something else, and whatever you take will be a lie. 1 Timothy, written to the young evangelist Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The eternal fight that we are in for our soul is a fight between the flesh and the spirit. 2 Timothy, we read this earlier, that you need to be diligent in studying so we can rightly divide the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Titus, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present age. Titus 2, 11 and 12. That's something you do, my friend. Philemon was written to about a runaway slave. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that even you will do more than I say. Paul wrote this to his master, Philemon's master, and asking him to receive him back as a brother. In the book of Hebrews, for though the time you ought to be teachers, you have need someone to come and teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. But solid fruit belongs to those who are full of age, that is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We are to grow spiritually. If we're not growing, then we're not pleasing God. James, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison, which we bless our Father, God the Father, and we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things are not to be so. The book of 1 Peter, that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh, in the lust of men, but the will of God. We also read in 2 Peter, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, the virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. These are the Christian graces, character traits that all of us must develop as God's children. 1 John, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and is of the world and is not of God. In 2 John, he warns, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not receive him, does not bring this doctrine, receive him not into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. We need to oppose the false teacher. 3 John, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. If you then send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. And the book of Jude. Behold, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you that you earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. The one message is the only message that can save man, and it was given to man by God. Then you have the book of Revelation. Revelation 1, verse 2. It's a Christ's revelation to the Apostle John. In chapter 3, those who read it and keep it are blessed. And he's shortly going to come to pass, and the things written will shortly come to pass. Again, this shows that it can be understood. You can't keep it and you can't bless it if you don't understand it. In John 1, John said he was already in the kingdom. Many tell us that the kingdom is yet to come. That can't be because John was already in it. In Acts 22, 18 and 19, we're not to add nor subtract from. This book must be understood in the proper context. It's a book of comfort for those who will not add to what it says or will not subtract from what it says. And so that is the message of the Bible. That is the entirety of all 66 books in a very capsule-like view. But all these books have one underlying principle. It is God's revelation in different dispensations given to man where they could understand, where they could obey, and they could please God, and God would save them. Now remember, the basic message of the Bible, Savior is needed because of sin. A Savior is coming, and a Savior is here. Thank you for listening. Please tune in again next week.